You are listening to the Homewood Hotcast right here on HPL Radio.
Hi, welcome to the inaugural Fantastic Podcastic, also known as the Weekly Geekly, or perhaps more accurately, the Bi-Weekly Geekly. We'll be raving and ranting about any number of our favorite things that you can find here at the Homewood Public Library. Yes, we have more than books. Our patrons can also check out movies on DVD and even on VHS tape, TV shows on DVD, music on CD, and graphic novels. And speaking of which, today we have a graphic novel discussion with spoilers. I repeat, with spoilers. I'm Neptune Zone, one of your hosts today, and your other host is...
The infamous Mojo Jojo, the all-knowing of Marvel and DC Comics.
And not the least bit humble. But today we're going to talk about a relatively new graphic novel called The Immortal Iron Fist, The Last Iron Fist Story. And it collects the first six comics in this new series. Feel free to interrupt me at any point, Mojo Jojo. For those that don't know, Iron Fist was a B or C character that Marvel came up with to capitalize on the 1970s kung fu craze. And he was created by Roy Thomas and Gil Kane. And Chris Claremont and John Byrne also worked on him. But it was a very short-lived series before he ended up hooking up with Luke Cage, Power Man, and forming Heroes for Hire. Right. And that was many years ago, and about a year and a half ago, maybe two. Anyway, Iron Fist got a reboot with Ed Brubaker and Matt Faction writing him. And if you're into comics, you'll know who those people are. Of course, Ed Brubaker, famous for writing The Death of Captain America. Yes. But that's a whole nother hot cast.
It's a whole nother preview.
But anyway, my understanding, which could of course be wrong, is that Ed Brubaker helps with the plotting and Faction handles most of the scripting.
The storyline.
Right. So, but anyway, personally, I think it's one of the best comics out there right now. I've had a good time reading it. So, I mean, did you like it? Did you like the
I liked it a lot because I'm a Iron Fist reader. I used to read Iron Fist back in the early 80s, and that was one of my favorite characters.
Well, and of course...
Because I grew up in the, you know, the Chinese craze.
Right.
I was born in 75, so I was right there when it basically hit good.
Right,
all
right.
The good stuff, the super ninjas and things of that nature. So I was really into it, and it was good that you had a hero that actually did kung fu instead of could just bend bars or fly
right,
or shoot rays
right.
out of their eyes. It made it feel more realistic, I guess you would say, even though his hands were glowing.
Right.
But, you know, that's sort of the thing that kung fu does. It sort of gives you mystical powers, but it still feels, you know, regular. Or they look at it as something
right.
that's regular, not
it's,
a superpower,
yeah,
per
it's,
se.
They accept the supernatural in the kung fu world.
And they bring that out in this book as well. They use a lot of elements from the 70s mm-hmm. and put a different spin on it because, of course, it's, you know, 22nd century, 21st century, what century are we in?
Yeah, 21st.
Well, 21st I mean, century, but he made a comment on there. The previous Iron Fist was asking him what he was doing with his money, and he
right.
said, "I'm buying property." Which sounded like, you know, he was sort of vain, and he made the comment, well, I'm not the normal superhero who can fly around, but that's I have like, to get in my city, so yeah. I buy rooftops
to jump around
on from city to city. And it sounded crazy, but the fact that he was actually serious about that, you
right,
know,
right.
added that little element into it. So I like the elements that they kept from the and keeping the character human. And not feeling so superhero-ish,
right,
I guess,
right.
as far as superpowers.
Yes, I mean, you get some of his everyday problems
mm-hmm.
in there. But
and it's
yeah,
a lot of humanistic problems in here, too.
Right.
I like that.
Well, but, I mean, for those that aren't familiar with Iron Fist, his father was a billionaire or a gazillionaire.
Right.
And in the origin story, which they talk a little bit about in here, he ends up dragging his family out to...
Searching for what do they call the city?
Kunlun,
mystical
I think.
City.
Yeah, the mystical city.
That
of,
only
I
appears
it's...
in the reality plane at a certain time.
Right. I
every
think 10 years or
10
something
years
like that.
Or something
or, yeah,
like
I forget.
That.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 20. But so he's you don't really get the whole backstory about his dad in the early issues, but you get more of it in this graphic novel.
Right.
But anyway, so he's not only Master of the Mystic Arts. Not Master, I'm getting confused. That's Dr. Strange. No, he's not only Master of the Kung Fu Arts.
Martial Arts.
Yes, the martial arts. He's Daniel Rand has also inherited billions of dollars.
Right. So he's the Kung Fu Tony Stark.
Yeah, the Kung Fu Tony Stark.
Well, seems like not, all the real good characters have to have a whole lot of money to back them up or the story won't be real.
Yeah, and he's not as, what's the word, the polite word. He's not...
I was about to say a dirty word.
Yeah. No, we can't use those words here. But he's not as hard-nosed, yes, as Tony Stark, no. And you also mentioned the former Iron Fist, and that's right. What this story deals with, because up until this graphic novel or this new reboot, we didn't know anything. I kind of assumed he was the only Iron Fist.
I mean, I didn't assume he was the only Iron Fist, but I never thought that the story was going to actually open up to any more Iron Fist.
Right.
I thought it was just going to be like, well, this is Iron Fist, and he's the champion that's right. going into America from the Mystic Lands, and I didn't know they were going to have some backdrops of
right.
a female Iron Fist or a rogue Iron Fist. And pretty much, if you kept up with the story, the only person that we really knew about was, like you said, the Steel Dragon.
Oh, as the far Steel Serpent.
Yeah, the Steel Serpent.
Yeah, who was
as far as he wasn't an Iron Fist, but coming from the same type background and from the same people.
Right. Well, the Steel Serpent is the Iron Fist wannabe. He tried to be right, Iron Fist, but right. he couldn't quite hack
He's
it.
He's still so trying to be Iron
that's
Fist.
That's right. And so he plays a part in this graphic novel also, mm-hmm. which goes back to the point that you brought up about how this graphic novel doesn't discard all the stuff that we enjoyed from right. the original series in right. the 70s Kung Fu craze.
It still has the goofy, cheesy sayings. Like Sweet Christmas.
Yeah, Luke Cage's favorite saying, yes. And
still has the black woman with a severe afro.
Right.
Who's about to put some whoop butt down.
Yeah, I wonder if that can. But that's Misty Knight, right?
Right. And you still have Colleen, who was supposedly back then the sort of hippie Indian child with the long straight
right.
hair
right.
who knew martial arts. And they pretty much kept all three of those characters the same. In this book, which I thought it was good. The small difference is that I think Misty and Colleen are lovers.
Oh my goodness, I'm not sure. Are they?
They sort of like hinted to it in the book, but they've been hinting around to a lot of that in Marvel Comics, where you don't know if it's just making fun of it
right.
or if that's actually the situation.
Well, you know, backstory. Misty, mm-hmm. Misty Knight, was actually in a relationship with Iron.
Danny Rand.
That's why
right.
I'm kind of going, are they?
Right.
And Colleen was actually in a relationship with somebody in the Avengers, I think, recently. I can't remember. But I know which scene you're talking about. Where
You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah. It's near the end in the elevator scene. Where
yeah, and she first says she loves that girl.
Right.
And that's just simply, that's my girlfriend.
Right.
But then they go further than that.
Right.
And that's where I got confused at.
Yeah.
Especially for him to be saying it, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that was just kind of a dig into yeah. the political situation regarding gay marriage.
It just confused you because they've been throwing that a lot around
right,
in these comic books, which back in the 70s, 80s, it was none of that.
Right,
in these comic books, that was just too far gone of a topic to be putting in the comic books.
Right. Well, now,
which shows you how far along comic books have come.
Well, but this is also more aimed at the adult market, this Iron Fist series.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, anyway, we do get some of the old crew. Like I said, they stay true to the old roots, but they update it and they tell you it's not like they change things so radically like some reboots have done,
mm-hmm.
But that they actually just take things to a logical conclusion that maybe you didn't think about.
Right.
Like you were talking about the old Iron Fist in the past. And in fact, in each of these, there's several like flashbacks to historical Iron Fist.
Flashbacks.
All right, this is getting cut too. Flashbacks. There are several flashbacks
mm-hmm.
to historical Iron Fist, which culminate in the flashback/entrance of Orson Randall,
right.
which
is a very interesting character, and I think which actually adds the spice because that was the one thing that was lacking, I think. In the Iron Fist of old was that, I mean, Luke Cage was good, but, I mean, there's like a million characters who were impenetrable, I guess you would say.
Right.
Indestructible.
Right, right. Yeah. We're not even talking about Wolverine
strong.
Either.
Yeah. So it always missed a sort of an element in this comic book. I mean, you had the street element to it, and you had the semi-superpowers with the Iron Fist, but you sort of missed that gritty character edge.
Right. Or the seasoned
The seasoned
mentor.
Veteran.
Yeah, the seasoned mentor. Yeah.
And that's where he comes in, and I like that a lot, the fact that he doesn't use his fist. He actually uses 45s as his weapon of choice, and he shoots his power through the gun instead of just using karate.
Right.
And the fact that his mind has been pretty much destroyed because he's lost everybody, and how that ties into him being a Vietnam veteran.
And World War One veteran.
I because it doesn't seem like he'd be in World War One.
Right.
But
well, because you remember,
he is immortal, I guess.
Right. The Iron Fist confers longevity and immortality.
Right.
Yes, it's called the Immortal Iron Fist.
Right.
Yeah.
And which you forget about because they don't really talk about it that much.
Well, yeah, because we've only seen Danny Rand, who
hasn't
lived that long.
Exactly. He's the young boy, so you don't look at him as immortal. And he's always getting beat up. So.
Yes, he does spend a lot of time getting beat up in here.
So that sort of shows the immortality of that power. And like I said, they've never really touched on his power so much. They really concentrated on the butt kicking and the street element. And this comic book is trying to concentrate more of what actually is the Iron Fist.
Yeah, how does that power work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's where it comes in. For, again, those people that aren't familiar with Iron Fist, his superpower, so to speak, is that he can focus his chi. I think that's the right word. He can focus his chi, and I think the exact phrase, and make my fist into a thing of iron. You know, Wolverine has his catchphrase. So does Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
So and it literally becomes this glowing fist that's like
practically
indestructible. Yes, of course they make the best graphic pictures too.
Which and I have to say the coloring in this book is great too.
Yeah.
Haven't seen purple, green, and yellow go so well together.
Well, but back to his powers here. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about the art, too. But so basically, you're focusing this, you're making something indestructible and being able to cause damage or use it. This power, you're focusing your chi to use it, comes from your encounter with a mythical dragon.
Right.
And that's where you get the tattoo on your chest. As we learn in this book, and as you said, Iron Fist in the past have been able to not just focus it in their hands, but into weapons that they use.
Right.
There's a female Iron Fist.
We've never known.
Right. That's a new thing that we didn't know about, but it makes sense. You know, again, it's taking what we know and going to the next logical step.
And I think that comes with the immortality part. Like I said, they never really concentrated on the immortality part. And I think the older you go through being the Iron Fist, you learn how to do all these things.
Well, that's partly true, I think. But also, you know, if you look at the time periods, these Iron Fists, they don't last very long. They might be immortal while they're there, but, you know, they tend to get, because they're in fighting situations, they tend to die a lot, I think. But anyway, this is what I finally caught on to, was that when they named this graphic novel or this arc, the last Iron Fist story, I was thinking that, you know, they were going to kill off, or, you know, that this was it, that something was going to happen and there was not going to be any more Iron Fist story. But after reading it, I realized they're talking about the last Iron Fist as like the person that was previous to this Iron Fist. This is his story in a lot of ways, I think.
Which I'm pretty sure they're going to come out with a collection of stories just for him.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that after Iron Fist fans read this book, they're going to want more from Orin.
Well, yeah, they actually do have one-shot comic book with one of Orson Randall's.
I call him Orin.
Orson Randall's adventures, I guess I should say. And I've also...
He turns out to be actually Iron Fist, Danny Rand's surrogate grandfather.
Well, you know, they're not really clear about that.
I put it together. He made the joke about it in this book here, that, what are you, my grandfather? And then when you read the other book and realize the little boy who actually saved Orson from drinking the wrong poison tea was Danny's father.
Right, but he wasn't his son. It was like he was adopted son.
Right. That's what
just
I was saying.
Like,
so he is more of like an adoptive grandfather, but he actually raised his father.
Right.
Through
He did raise.
So
he
knows
raise
a lot about Danny by seeing his father as a young boy as well.
Right. But now remember also that Orson Randall, is Lee Kung the Thunderer's adopted son.
Right.
And of course, that puts Lee Kung in a bad place because Lee Kung is actually the physical, biological father of Davos, mm-hmm. the Steel Serpent. Right. Boy, are we really geeky.
That's all right. Our people will come and they will enjoy this.
That's right. If you're a comic book person, you'll understand. Okay, so as we...
And we hope that you are our people and that you'll join us next week for part two of the discussion on The Last Iron Fist Story, wherein the marvelous Mojo Jojo and Neptune's Own actually discuss the art of David Aja, Heroes for Hire, 70s Attire, Hydra, Tibet, the Drunken Wasp Sting versus the Brooklyn Headbutt, and how we'd love to be able to say, I don't think I need that $10 billion. And of course, more spoilers.